from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up.
machine.
Want it.
Oh, yeah, now.
Shake the Kia Studio. Kia Studios 9 floors up here in Midtown, Atlanta. Ah, it's Weekend Mornings with Sam and Greg. Day 2. Glad you're with us until 10 o'clock this morning. Greg in his absence, but I still got Noel here.
Hey.
Morning.
Morning.
Get up. Oh, my goodness. Here we're down to the final days and the final hours of the Paris Olympics.
Yeah, man, I can finally get some sleep.
Yeah, but it's going to be over. No,
I know. I really am sad it's going to be over, though. I don't know why this year has grasped me so heavily and easily as it has. But I have been enamored, and I dove in head first, and I'm not sure I'm ready to get out of the pool, Sam.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm ready for adult swim time to end.
But you know, we got to do it because the football season is here and it's ready to get started. And that's just it. The Olympics end right at the time as we get set for football season. And I get excited about that. But, yeah, we got one more day. Yesterday, quite a day for American teams on a number of fronts. We on the soccer front, men's basketball, and then in the track. Fantastic finish to the track events with those 4x400 relays, both men and women.
I'm going to give you one that you're not even going to think to mention that I am completely shocked we even meddled in.
Oh.
Yeah. Men's breaking.
We left here yesterday and we was like, this is going to be a shame.
Man.
We ain't going to win nothing except something we invented.
Man.
But we
Victor,
got.
Victor secured the win. He brought it home back to America, back to the boogie down Bronx. Kind of saved our reputation a little bit.
Yeah, we kind of needed that.
So that was, I enjoyed watching it. It was a fun battle.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out to USA. We medaled.
Yep.
Breaking. Woo!
We still got more coming up today as the women get set to play their championship game, the gold medal game. And that's coming up a little later on today. We're going to preview that as well.
Yeah, it's coming up at 9:30. I see who's this, Belgium and the Aussies are getting busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
for the bronze game.
Bronze medal game that's going on right now as we get down to the final events of these Olympic Games. All the track is done. I think we got the women's marathon that's going to go on, and I think there's several other events that still may be going on, maybe some water polo. I got to check and see that, but this is it. They're going to wind it down and get into the closing ceremonies. I don't think they're going to get back on the boats. But it's supposed to be something, a tribute to where it's going next, which would be Los Angeles.
L.A.
And we can't wait.
Tinseltown.
We're hearing that some people like seeing some people like Jimmy Fallon has been spotted over and Tom Cruise. So we're seeing what they're going to cook up for us as the Olympics prepare to return to the United States. We'll talk about that as we're going. Also got better news about the Braves. Braves with a win last night.
Woo!
Yeah, you know, we take them when we can get them these days. You know, we really do. We really do. 11-8 final. That's your typical Colorado game.
Yeah, man. The air is so thin. Just fly out the ballpark.
And twice for Olson last night. Twice for Matt Olson. Having a big grand slam and then having another home run later in the contest. Big for him. The Braves really needed it as they get the victory last night. 8-6 final score. Max Fried goes 5 innings. Not a stellar, exactly a stellar performance, but he started, went 5. Gave up 7 hits, 4 earned runs, struck out 9. But the bullpen, you know, locked things down after that, and they end up coming out with the victory. So Braves with the win last night, and that's certainly good news. They need that as they continue against a team like Colorado. You got to get health. You got to get some wins. You know, this is one of the teams you want to get some wins over.
Yeah, we're still on the Braves roller coaster, but right now we're at a peak with a win, so. We'll enjoy it and then see what the next series takes us. But yeah, it was good to see them get a win late last night.
Yeah.
Late last night.
Yeah. Spencer Schwellenbach is going to pitch in the game today, and hopefully he can have one of his better outings, 4-5 right now, and see if he can have a better outing and the Braves take 2 out of 3, because that's what you want.
Yeah.
You want to win 2 out of 3, and that's what we hope they can get with the win there today. So we will be watching for that as well. We got preseason football for you, NFL football here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, coming up later today. You know, we got the Cowboys in the ring. What is about the Cowboys?
I figured it out. You want to talk about it? I have figured it out about the viewership in the Cowboys.
Why?
This whole Sunday ticket thing has exposed it. I have figured it out. You ready, Sam?
Go ahead.
Okay. So the whole thing with the lawsuit was, you know, antitrust. You know, they cooked up the situation to overprice us on the Sunday ticket, right?
Right.
Well, that was for two reasons. Of course, for the NFL and DirecTV to make their money, but also to make Fox investment of Sunday football worth it. So everybody that wasn't watching Sunday Ticket was forced to watch the Cowboys as the game of the week at 4:05 every day for 15 years now?
It seems like it.
So it's that those two things seem to be in a marriage together, the Sunday Ticket situation and us being forced to watch, quote-unquote, America's team at 4:05 or 4:35 every Sunday afternoon.
It ain't won nothing since Hex was a bullfrog.
Man, they ain't won nothing since I had a pacifier. I was in, like, kindergarten last time they won something.
But today you will hear them here, once again, at that time, at their favorite time of day. But the pregame at 4 o'clock and the kickoff at 4:30. Cowboys and Rams are here today. Tune in and check it out here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we have preseason football for you coming up. That's of course this week we'll be heading back up to Flowery Branch, check on the Falcons. My goodness, our shows will be there on tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Ooh.
Yes. The morning shift will be there. Steakhouse will be there. Andy and Randy all will be at Falcons training camp, Ticketmaster Studios. And then afterwards, Dukes and Bell will be at
Hooters, correct?
Hooters. Hooters Mall of Georgia. They're going to be holding it down over there with a lot of debauchery and hijinks. But if you get a chance to go by and check out with them, you'll have a great time. And, you know, buy something and make them pay for it. That's what you do if you go by and see those guys after you work up at Flowery Branch today.
But you know what that means, Sam? If we're going to be out there at Flowery Branch 3 days this week, right?
Yeah.
That means that this is the number one place for y'all to figure out what's going on with the Atlanta Falcons. This is the place.
It is.
You're not going to find out sooner than you are on the morning shift or the steakhouse or the Andy and Randy show or whatever Dukes and Bell going to have going on at whatever Hooters location that they are there for you guys to visit them. So if you want to know what's going on in these last few moments heading into the season, because September 8th is around the corner,
I'm telling you.
You want to stick it here.
Absolutely.
Don't change the dial.
Getting ready to go into that second preseason game next Saturday at noon in Baltimore against the Ravens. We talked a little bit yesterday about why they got that noon start time. But, you know, they're going to come home, work out, and, you know, really, you know, find out some people on some depth charts in some places because of some injuries that were sustained both during the workouts and during the preseason game, which is something you hate to see, but, you know, it creates opportunities for mothers. Let's see what people are going to do to get ready to perform in this game. And that's the other part of it. And, you know, John Fricke had talked a lot about how he just totally over the preseason yesterday. And, I'm kind of inclined to go along with it because I just have different memories of the preseason. I mean,
yeah.
You talk with people that talked about it one time. There were like six preseason games. At one time, there was like a game between the NFL champion and the college all-stars. My goodness, you would never have today.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, no.
This was a game that was played for years at like Soldier Field in Chicago. Right before training camp, the top college players would go out and play against this team that's been playing together, these grown men, before they go to camp with the team that they're going to play with. I mean, that's how long training camp and what all that stuff kind of went. It was just a different time.
Yeah, you couldn't imagine none of that now.
You mentioned that now. You're gonna go and line guys up against somebody, and then you're going to send them to camp to play. Maybe they'll get to camp. Maybe they wouldn't. You know, that's wow. But it was an honor if you talk with guys, and I knew some men who played in that game, and it was the greatest honor of their lives chosen as a college all-star to play on a team against the NFL champion. You had no chance of competing with these guys. You're going up against a team that's, you know, right, and you just a team that's thrown together over a few days and a few practices. But the idea of getting to do it
being in the space with those legends and those players that you look up to. Yeah, I'm sure that was amazing. Would never happen today.
No.
I'm inclined to also agree with Freaky just because if everybody that needs the workout is going to be on the sideline in a t-shirt, then what is the point of preseason at this point?
Yep, yep.
Other than working out your roster and figuring out those last few slots. What is the point?
Yeah.
We're kind of sloshing through the first 3 or 4 weeks anyway, seeing teams kind of get their footing and figure out what their identity is and all of that. So preseason is no longer serves the same purpose it used to. I guess we should put it that way.
Well, you know what? It served a different purpose in my youth in this part of the country, because we did know the Falcons and New Orleans Saints were the only teams in this region.
Mm-hmm.
And so the preseason games were not always held at the city where the team was. You play a game in Birmingham, you play a game in Raleigh, you play a game, you
that
know.
That makes sense, to widen the region.
To give people a chance to taste and sample the National Football League, to bring some college heroes back to their campus to play games, that was a cool idea. But, you know, it became just part of the season ticket package now, and all the games are played
at the stadiums.
Mm-hmm. So that was different. But then now you got teams in all those. You got your team in Nashville. You got your team in Charlotte. You got your team in Jacksonville. So that's different. But that was something cool to do with the preseason, and something that people look forward to, is seeing the pro game in a different environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of gone now.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about adding an 18th game. So I think we're going to be down to more control scrimmages and workouts like we saw last week in Miami.
You'll probably have an additional joint practice or two.
Yeah, joint practice, and then let's kick it off and get it going. That's probably what we got. We're going to talk about that some more and maybe get your thoughts on it too. 404-726-0929 for a conversation about that as we move along on this Sunday morning. It's Sam and Noel here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. With Greg in his absence, got Noel White ready to handle the business on the other side of the glass. And my goodness, we're down to the final hours and the final days, the final competitions of these Paris Olympics, which has been such a thrill. I mean, no matter what sport you like, or maybe you found yourself enjoying a sport that you didn't know you would enjoy just because of the way it was presented. And tip of the cap to NBC for their remarkable coverage of it.
They knocked that thing out the park. NBC knocked that thing out the park. Man, I've been more astounded by their coverage ability and their ability to keep it all entertaining, but also keep it all moving and have the right commentators, the right personalities. They really understood what this is and what it was supposed to be and look like, and just shout out to NBC.
But just also the fact that, remember, in the last Olympics, there were no fans. You know, people were there, people were competing in front of in empty arenas, mm-hmm. and empty stadiums. Family members couldn't go to be there with them, and mm-hmm. they really, like, you know, wanted to show the difference. Here's the difference. This is what this event really should feel like, with the crowds there, with family members there, the backstories of so many of them. So, to me, that has been the thing that has been most delightful. And yesterday, great day for the USA. Team USA was just racking up more medals and just impressive. I don't know where you want to start. You want to start? Let's start with soccer.
Let's start with. I'm glad
Why
we're on the same
don't
page.
We?
Let's How? Start with soccer.
Sports fans, we got the women's soccer team from U.S. back on top.
Man,
back on top.
Like, the U.S. women's soccer is back. Oh my goodness! Like, watching that match was so fun to watch, because it almost felt like it was in hand from go. And then to watch them go out there and get the job done, but also have fun doing it. Like, they had so much fun playing with each other and so much joy. You know, Trinity and Mallory and all of that. Like, they had so much fun out there on that field, running around and bringing that notoriety and that great competitive spirit back to women's USA basketball. It was really nice to see.
Yep, the stories are numerous. Some of the names that we recognize, but there's some new names that have come along in this. A bit of a changing with U.S. women's soccer. And, of course, we're going to get to know these folks better because we're their hometown now.
You know,
right? How about that? We're gonna see these folks on a regular basis. They're going to be like your neighbors, you know? And so we're excited about that. 1-0, that's all they needed. The one from Mallory Swanson would do it. And the stories are great, from the players to the coach, you know, to everyone and just involved with it. And it puts USA women's soccer back on top where we feel like they belong, you know, always. But with the spirit of and in the reinvigorated group for the first time since 2012, we have the gold medal in women's soccer. That is simply remarkable. Great, 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 great thing to happen yesterday. Then we go to basketball, and the men get things done. Toward the end there, they made it interesting. But you know, you're talking France, and so you're playing against a team, you know, some NBA players and a player that we feel like is going to be this generational player of the future. playing for France and in front of their home crowd. And so that's the other thing that you had going on, right?
All of that. But Yabusele, you might get some phone calls, get Duolingo, brush up on some English a little bit, brother, because you put on a show.
Yep.
You put LeBron James on a poster. You put LeBron James on a poster. Like, the Wimby of it all was great. You know, Nicola Batum reminded me that he still plays basketball. I completely forgot about Nicola Batum. I'm not going to lie to you. After he left Charlotte, I kind of lost where he was in the NBA shuffle. So to see him was like, oh, look.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had a lot of moving parts. Like, you know, Gobert went out there and did his thing, and all the other French players that we were introduced to. But Yabusele made a name throughout this whole playoffs, but especially yesterday, to be able to, you know, back down a LeBron, to be able to put a KD on his heels. It looked really impressive. But Stephen Curry.
And a guy that does that, there's not room for him in the NBA?
No, that's what I'm saying. Brush up on you. Get Duolingo.
There's not room for him?
But brush up on some English, because you're going to get some phone calls.
We'll see.
Man can play some power forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. You about to mention Steph Curry, and you know, it's like during the first few games, you know, he was out there, but seemed like he really showed up when this team needed it to. And that, you know, that's, you know, I think Ant-Man even said that.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
This guy showed up at the right time during the stretch, and big finish for him.
Insane. Like, in the beginning of that game, those shots weren't falling, right? He was taking the same shots. They weren't really falling, but nobody went to Steph and was like, hey, you know, you should pass the ball out, or we're trying to win. Or they let Steph be Steph, and maybe that's a benefit of, you know, Kirby and the coach on the sideline or whatever that is. But, you know, they let a shooter shoot, and he shot some daggers yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, he shot a rainbow, I want to say it was over Nicholas Batum, and it went, that thing arched so high and then just dropped into the net for three. Whoo, yeah, so many daggers Steph hit last night towards the third or fourth quarter. LeBron put that head down, put that forearm up, and bowled through everybody like he normally does.
Like he was
vintage,
right?
Power forward LeBron, yep. Yesterday.
Yep.
KD was the easy money. I mean, you got everything you wanted from everybody, and whatever you didn't get, they were quick to make a change. Like, Embiid was not really working out in the first couple minutes against Wimby. Okay, great. Anthony Davis, let's go.
Yep.
We got work to do. And you didn't see any animosity or anything on the bench. Matter of fact, if you've seen on social media, Halliburton posted himself with his gold medal.
How about that? Right?
Talking about someone, you get an A on the group project and they do nothing. And I said, you know what, sir? I respect a man that plays their role. My role on this team is to cheer on the old heads and everybody that's making shots, and I'm going to do that and take my gold medal on back to the USA.
There we go.
So shout out to Halliburton, because he did his thing. He went over to Paris. He made some friends. He had a good time. He came home with a medal. Who had more fun than Halliburton other than Snoop Dogg? Who had more fun?
I know that's right. Great time for him, and fantastic as the U.S. wins the fifth consecutive gold medal of men's basketball. Great to see that. On the track.
Woo!
On the track. My goodness. And there's these 4x400 relays, both the men and women, you know, just put on a show for the U.S. and just gave people, put an exclamation point, really, on a great couple of weeks of track for the United States. It was fantastic to watch.
And it was a good bounce back from the previous day relay.
Yeah,
we didn't really get the results we wanted, so that was a really good comeback. And like you said, for that to be the exclamation point in the track and field events, that was nice. That was great to see.
Absolutely.
Ooh, they were smoking them, boy. But I'm going to tell you one I saw. We didn't win this when we medaled. We were bronze. But I'm going to tell you one I saw that kind of shocked me. I think I was watching the men's 5,000 meter.
Okay.
And I want to say it was Ethiopia. It was pretty much out in front. 1, 2, 3, Ethiopia. But the camera had been on Great Britain the whole time. So I'm like, what's the big deal about this kid from Great Britain? So jogging around, you know, the kid from Great Britain stayed about 4 or 5 till about the third lap. And then somebody from Ethiopia kind of like shot ahead a bit, like a good distance. And then you saw Great Britain like, oh, guess it's time to run now. Hawked them down in one, in like a lane and a lap and a half. I was like, oh, I knew that was a reason the camera kept giving you this mid-close-up.
Yeah,
like you was the guy, because you were the guy. He went from just jogging in part of the pack to just taking off. I was like, when did that happen? So that was also fun. I think I watched more track and field events this year than I ever have in the Olympics, and I really did have a ball.
After saying that, do we want to see a track series in the States?
Yes.
Are we ready to follow it? And you know what? You know what? If it was going to happen right away, if we're coming back, but it's football season and that's going to make it difficult, by the spring, will we still have the same enthusiasm? You know, I mean, I think that's the thing. You know, to me, you would need to have an event like, I'm not saying like next week, but to have these track athletes come back to the States, it would be neat to have something. But right now, you know, we're getting ready to start our football season. And that's where the lion's share of the attention is going to go, obviously.
100%. But maybe you find a way to get them back after the Olympics and you do like one of, like the gymnasts. You do a meet and greet and you go around. You kind of get people, you know, interested in the personalities of the runners and the participants. And then that'll make people latch on to them in the sport.
Maybe so. Or maybe do something indoor. Maybe have a series of indoor meets. That might be something that we could do here in the state. We need to do something because our track athletes have gone out and put on such a tremendous show.
Man.
And especially here in Atlanta. Some of my home folks, shout out to Chris Bailey, Carver High School, Atlanta Public School, APS represented, ran the first leg of that 4x400 yesterday, and obviously with Gabby Thomas out there running on the women's side. So we got some folks that we know that are out there doing some amazing things in these Olympics, and it's, you know, it's great things that we can see. Now, we got something coming up that's, this thing I'm seeing about Jordan Chiles, and I'm in mixed feelings about it because officiating, and we're always down on officials and judges. You know, we're always down on them, and they really haven't been much of a story with the Olympics as far as, like, officiating judges. They've been one or two. These are really supposed to be the best of the best internationally.
Right.
To get a chance to be a judge or an official for an Olympic competition. But now they want to go back and change something with her score that gave her the bronze medal in her floor exercise.
Yeah.
And now they're saying that she may be required to return that medal. And I'm like, oof. That's tough.
Yeah, so they're saying that her team, so apparently she had a minute to inquire about her score. Apparently the team took a minute and 4 seconds. Apparently that 4 seconds is the point of contention right now, even though it took days and days and days for it to even be brought up and looked at again. Apparently that 4 seconds was too late, and that's what's causing the contention with the bronze medal. And it's unfortunate because it is, everything has human error in it, even as a judge. But it is unfortunate for the participant to be punished due to a human error of the judge or the scorer.
True. That's true. Very true. Very true. So we'll watch to see what, you know, what happens with that. You know, I know someone here in town who, you know, through a different means, had a medal turned to him at a later date. After competing, and Adam Nelson, the shot put in 04 in Athens, Greece, won the silver medal, and a performance-enhancing drug test against the Russian athlete who won the gold medal that year. It took till 2012 for them to say,
wow,
you know, that, you know, hey, this guy failed his drug test, and he's got to give back the gold medal. And the way he got the gold medal, Noel, you know, he had the silver medal. The Olympic Committee said, you know, you're the gold medal winner from 04. And then, you know, in 2013, I think it was, May, they declared that he was the 2004 champion. Think how many years have gone by.
Yeah, it's like 8 years. You done polished the silver a couple times and took pictures with it, and you resigned yourself to it.
They said, you know what, can you meet us on this day at this time? We go down to Atlanta Airport, Hartsfield Jackson, and the person walked up to him in the food court next to the Popeyes or the Burger King there and said, you Adam Nelson, did you bring it with you? And Adam brings out the silver and the Olympic representative gives him the gold. Congratulations, you're the gold medal winner. Now, you'd be glad to get the gold medal, but wouldn't you want to have your family members or some folk that cared about you around when you got that?
And it's probably what you're thinking, you know, once you get back in the car and you realize you have the gold medal, you're like, well, some cameras would have been nice, or, you know, an op-ed or a cake or, you know, some type of pomp and circumstance, or a banner to say congratulations, something.
Either Burger King and we got him a Whopper or something. I don't, but
Burger King crown.
You know what I mean? Yeah, put the crown on. That's something, though.
Yeah.
To get it retro. And so, and I don't know what's going to happen in this situation with Jordan Chiles. I don't know if she's already left town. I'm not sure where, you know, whereabouts. And
sound like another meet me at the airport situation.
It might be, you know, meet me. Or meet, You know what? But hopefully for that person who receive it, you know, it'll be something that they can share. And I'm not saying you got to have a parade or anything like that, but in Adam's case, I'm sure it would have been nice if he could have had some family people there to at least meet the representative. And, you know, I mean, Delta got them little lounge rooms out right there at the airport. That's, you come in, you
get
the
Sky Lounge right quick. You right, just do lounge. That right quick.
Right.
Yeah, well, this is going to happen so rapidly if it does that I think Romania will actually be ready to celebrate that person.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it's 10, 8, 10, 12 years later, you almost forgot. You're like, what? I want gold. What? How?
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. But it actually happened, and we know somebody here in town who did it. Shout out to Adam Nelson. Hope all is well with him, as he is the athletic director over at Lovett School these days, and great member from the Olympics in 2004.
Yeah, all shout right out to him. That's crazy.
He's got the gold, and he had fries with it. all right, folks. Coming up next, these Braves. They got a win. We're going to talk about it more. You stay with us on this Sunday morning here on Sports Radio, 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio, 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam and Greg, this Sunday morning, Greg away, got Noel on the other side of the glass. Glad you're with us up until 10 o'clock. Thank you for spending this weekend with us. Looks like we're in for another great weather day today, another hot day. But not seeing any clouds as the sun starts to rise on this Sunday morning. If you are among those who have to work always on weekends, doesn't matter, weekends, holidays, our essential workers, our first responders, we always want to salute you and thank you for the work that you do and the things you do to keep things moving. Regardless, you know, people say, oh, it's a weekend. Well, not for these folks. They got to be around. And we appreciate you. Want to give you a shout out here on our show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Like I said, the Braves, we talked about them getting a win. And we'll take a look at this team. And I know you hear different hosts here on this station. Some who are ready to jump off the 17th Street Bridge because they think it's all over. That's a high bridge over there on 17th Street right there. Ooh. By Atlanta Station. And yeah, that'll hurt you when you land. But I'm just saying, you know, games like yesterday remind you, we still got time. We still got time. I mean, and it hasn't looked good, but we break out of a six-game tailspin in a place where you're supposed to break out of tailspins. And you know, Colorado is bad, you know, and you get a lot of fans there. For whatever reason, when the Braves play at Colorado, a lot of Braves fans show up. I guess that goes back to the old Superstation days. I don't know, but it's one of those places.
They've sounded loud in there.
They have a lot of fans there. When they go to San Diego, you get a lot of Braves fans there. I don't know what they're going to get in San Francisco. This next stop they're getting ready to go to there and the Angels. But they get the win. The bats come out in a very productive, big-time way. You know, you want to do it. Or Solera with the home run. Ozuna with the home run. And Matt Olson with a pair. Let's see if we can hear one of them right now.
Payoff pitch. Matt Olson hits it high. Matt Olson hits it deep. It's a grand slam.
That was big, and thank you, Bally Sports, for that. As Matt Olson had two home runs in the game last night. Big to see his bat going. He can keep that thing going, man. That would be great for this team going into the back half of this month, into the month of September. We're looking like we're just counting down the days until Money Mike is healthy and ready to come to the lineup. And that's going to be big to get him back in the lineup and maybe get some consistency, because the other thing you got to worry about is the defensive side of the ball. We always talk about, yep, you know, being productive, you know, the bats getting going. But, man, you know, when you're not sure who you got out there in the field, you know, you have some errors to creep in, and that's something, you know, that hurts more than anything when you're giving away opportunities to your opponent.
And that's why I'm not, you know, on the 17th Street Bridge or, you know, on top of the flame trying to jump off into traffic about this Braves team, because they're starting to show the things that you want to see, not just for this season, but going forward. Like, you want to see, because a lot of people that we have on this roster are locked up. Like, this is going to pretty much be the core for a while. So you want to see them start to move in the right direction together. And injuries are going to affect a lot of those things. To your point, we almost never had a conversation about the Braves in defense for the past 4, 5, 6 years. And now those little things are starting to creep in because you don't have your usual everyday people there. You have people playing more games normally than they would, playing more innings than they usually would. It's just not your normal situation, which is why your Braves don't look like your normal Braves team.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't. And that's the thing. Hopefully, you know, as we get people back healthy, we get that, you know, resolved, not only with the players in the field, but also the pitching staff. The pitching rotation has done some things. And Max Fried with the start last night, wasn't the kind of effort you want to see from him. He gave you 5 innings. Gave up 7 hits, surrendered 4 runs, had 9 strikeouts. A little bit of mixed bag there. You saw some things you like. You saw some things that give you reason to be concerned. But you wanted to try to reclaim that form. You need a healthy Max Fried if you're going to get into this playoff situation. So you want to see more from him.
You want to see more really from that entire starting lineup. That's another piece of the puzzle that's been shakier than it has been in years past. And I guess that's what's, you know, keeping my sanity about this whole Braves team is that it just don't look like it should because it's not what it is. It's not what it should be. But I also don't see it as a permanent thing. To your point, it could turn around this season. We can get hot in October. We could get enough momentum to carry us into 2025. There's still a lot of possibility left on the table, which is why you don't have Alex Anthopoulos just going out and throwing away all the future pieces to make something happen now, because this team here isn't the real Braves. We're not seeing the real Braves.
Yep. That's true. That is true. We're seeing here Michael Harris. Money Mike did play, had a start in Gwinnett last night. 3 for 4 and a homer.
Ah.
Ooh, hey now.
He's almost back.
You know, he's due to possibly rejoin the team. He's be eligible to rejoin the team on Wednesday of this week. So we're waiting to see. Money Mike
hey
back.
Hey now, Michael Harris back.
You know what, though? He comes back, though, nowhere. What do you put him in the batting order? Because you put Soler up at the top.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the other thing. You look at this order, and once again, Brian Snitker is going through so many different batting
orders.
We've
had to do way more tinkering with that this season than we've ever had to. So, it's something unusual. I'll probably stick him about third, fourth, just to get his rhythm back, get him in motion. You don't want to put him up too high to put too much pressure on him, but you also want to show that, you know, hey, you're still Michael Harris the second. So stick him somewhere in the middle and let him get some hits in and, you know, let him get on base and do some things and get his feet back under him.
We'll see. He's going to get that opportunity coming up this week, and it's going to be something that, you know, Brian Snitker is going to have to decide where he wants his guy. The main thing, the pitching staff is going to be happy to have him in center field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can pitch with a little bit of confidence and do some things knowing you got somebody that's going to help forgive you. If you make a little bit of an error and somebody makes this guy's going to go out there and he's going to make you look good. And that's what you play with confidence when you have that center field, and that just the middle part of your defense with baseball makes such a big difference. And that's what they're going to be looking for here.
Yeah, I think we sometimes forget all the things that go into a pitcher having confidence, and great defense behind them is one of those things. Like, you want to be able to know, you know, I can pitch grounders and they're going to field it, or if I maybe lay it over the plate a little too far, they can cover those gaps and maybe get to the ball or stop it short to cut the bleeding. Or those are the things that give a pitcher confidence to go out there and be like, yeah, we got it. Once those things start getting shaky, your pitcher can start getting shaky. You're like, what kind of pitch can I throw? Can I throw that knuckleball there? I don't know where it's going to land. I don't know what the defense is going to – can they handle that if I – it creates a lot more moving parts and pieces, a lot more questionable moving parts and pieces, if you will.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So today we're going to have Spencer Schwellenbach, who has really impressed us at times as a guy who really wants to solidify himself in this starting rotation and be somebody, if we make it to the postseason, someone that Brian Snitker would feel comfortable calling on. He's going to get the start today to try to help the Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Colorado Rockies before heading on to San Francisco. The San Francisco series is big because they're another team that's in the wild card hunt. And so, you know, you're going to go there. You got a game Monday. You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You get playing 4 games, and then you're moving on to Anaheim to take on the Angels. So that's what happened this West Coast trip before the Braves head back home. But these 4 games with the Giants, it could be really big games when you think about they're also hunting for the same thing that you're hunting for. It's going to be some good baseball.
Wow. What you just said made me realize something. If the Braves are, and of course they are, still trying to make the playoffs, then they essentially have to be in playoff mode right now.
Absolutely.
Like, they have slipped so far back in the standings that y'all have to be in playoff mode right now in early August. That's a wild situation. Yeah, we gotta see some impeccable baseball from now until.
We really do. We really do. And that's what makes this weekend a really big one. Going into next week, this is big. The game's against San Francisco. They're going to play the Angels for the weekend, then they're back home with the Phillies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not totally crunch time yet, but it's kind of getting there because these are games that really make a difference because these are folks that are contending for the same thing you're going for. Braves, 7.5 back of the Phillies, and Mets are right there behind them at 8 games back in the East. Cardinals are right there in the wild card hunt. You want to watch out for those guys. And then you got the Padres. You know, Padres, you know, D-backs and Giants out west behind the Dodgers. And so, you know, those are the teams that the Braves got to do their best against because these are teams that are directly competing with them for that wild card position. I'm not worried about the division right now. Some people are in the division. The Phillies win the division fine.
Yeah,
we
won
the division. We want to get in with everybody healthy and ready to go. Because the timing of something also is important. So, I mean, you want everybody healthy, go in and have these bats going, get your starting rotation, get your 3-4 starters that you're going to have to go with ready to go. That's what you're looking to do here in the next few weeks to have you in that position in the backside of September. So, you know, it's that fun time. It really is. We didn't think it would be that when this team broke camp. Really, we said, all right. You know,
right. We'll skate through and wake up in October and not so fast.
Nah, it's been different. But it's just a different story, a different script. You know, the Hollywood writers have come up with a little something different for this Braves
team. Some adversity in the script. That's all. That's little adversity moments in the script. But you hope that if they can pull through and make the playoffs, that all of this going on right now is going to make them that battle-tested team.
Absolutely.
You're hoping it's going to make them that team that's ready to fight through and push through anything. That's the positive side of this. They should be 100% battle-tested going into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, folks, headed for the top of the hour, 7 o'clock hour. Talk a little college football and get some reflection on these Olympic games, hopefully they mean for the coaches as they get set to start this school year. The high school football season will commence this week. You'll get to hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach Chris Parker going to join us at 7:20 as well. Noel's World at 7:40. That's our 7 o'clock hour. You stay tuned for it on this Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.